Shalom! Holy Scriptures and Israel is a ministry designed to share with the Jewish people the good news of the Lord Jesus Yeshua the Messiah, and to instruct Christians on the Jewish roots of their faith. And now, teaching God's Word from a Hebrew Messianic perspective, here is Gideon Levitam.
Shalom, dear brothers and sisters. God bless you. We are studying together the Gospel of John, the Gospel of Yohanan, and I would like you please to open your Bible to John chapter 6, in which we study a very interesting passage beginning from verse 22 all the way to verse 40 for this ministry meeting. It is very interesting because these verses from John 6:22 all the way to the end of the chapter, to verse 71, we see how the Lord, Yeshua, Jesus the Messiah, uses the occasion whereby he fed the multitude in the Galil, in Israel. The many of these individuals that came from all over, both the Pharisees, the Sadducees, as well as the ordinary individuals, Israeli individuals who came to him, and many of those initially were fed by him, as we have already read in John chapter 6, that there were about 5,000 men, according to John 6 verse 10, that were fed by him, which we know there were many, many more, because Matthew chapter 14 shows to us that there were men and women and children. There were probably 15, 20,000 Jewish Israeli individuals whom Yeshua the Messiah fed there in the Galil. But now, beloved friends, beloved brothers and sisters, these verses from verse 22 all the way to verse 71, we learn that the Lord Jesus is teaching the multitude, and there is a dialogue between him, Yeshua, and the people concerning the food, the bread of life. And from here he used the natural, the bread that he provided for the many, to the spiritual. He's shifting from the natural to the spiritual, meaning that he himself is the bread that came down from heaven. The word for bread is lechem in Hebrew, and he is lechem hachayim, the bread of life. And so we read, and I'm going to read verse 22 to verse 40 for this ministry meeting this time. We read in verse 22, John 6:22 says, "The day following, when the people which stood on the other side of the sea saw that there was none other boat there, save the one whereinto his disciples were entered, and that Yeshua went not with his disciples into the boat, but that his disciples were gone away alone, howbeit there came other boats from Tiberias nigh unto the place where they did eat bread, after that the Lord had given thanks. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping and came to Kfar Nahum, seeking for Yeshua." Verse 25, "And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou thither? Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me, not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perishes, but for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. Then said they unto him, What shall we do that we might work the work of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. They said therefore unto him, What sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Yeshua said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not the bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread, this lechem. And Yeshua said unto them, I am the bread of life. Ani hu lechem achaim. He that cometh unto me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I say unto you, that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will, which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Beloved brothers and sisters, and dear friend, this is a very beautiful passage which we can enjoy to learn to see how the Lord Yeshua, Jesus the Messiah, present himself before those that were seeking for him. You will notice that in this passage, from verse 22 to the end of the chapter, there are really four groups that are mentioned here in this passage. The first one, verses 22 to verse 40, we see the people who were seekers. They were seeking for him. As it says in verse 24 at the end, they came to Kfar Nahum seeking for Yeshua, seeking for Jesus. Then there is a second group that is found from verse 41 to 51. And the second group were the group that are the murmurers. The murmurers. In fact, you will notice that we read in verse 41, the Jews then murmured at him. The Jews is an expression that apply to the spiritual leaders, to the Pharisees, the Sadducees, who oftentimes recorded in the Gospel of Yohanan, the Gospel of John, by the word the Jews. Again, the Hebrew is the Yehudim, and we know that the whole event occurred among the Jewish people, the Jews. Everyone was a Jew in this situation in the Galilee. The Pharisees were Jews, the Sadducees were Jews, the disciples were Jews, the people that were there were Jews. The Lord, the Messiah himself was a Jew. The whole story is the Jews, but the context here has a reference to the Jewish leaders in the Gospel of John when the word the Jews is mentioned some 70 times in this Gospel of John. Thirdly, we have the third group that are found from verse 52 to 59. This third group are the groups that were the ones that were striving, and they were striving with each other and striving with the Lord. Verse 52 says, "And the Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat?" This is the third group. They are called those that strove with each other, but they also strove with Yeshua the Messiah. And finally, we have the fourth group, and that's found from verse 60 to verse 71. And these group are those that departed and left the Lord Jesus the Messiah. In verse 67, Yeshua, Jesus the Messiah, said unto his disciples, "Will ye also go away? Will ye also depart from me like some that have already departed?" And of course, it was Simon Peter that gave him this wonderful answer. "We believe and are sure that you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And so, beloved brothers and sisters and dear friend, we are now in this section that deals with the ones that were seeking for the Lord Jesus, the Messiah. In the first verses, verses 22 and 23, the people stood and waited by the seashore, but they found out that Yeshua was not there. You notice that? We read, "The following day, when the people which stood on the other side of the sea saw there was none other boat there save the one whereinto the disciples were entered, and that Yeshua went not with his disciples into the boat, but that his disciples were gone away alone, I am sure they were puzzled. Where is Yeshua? He did not enter into the boat. The disciples went alone." And so we read in verse 23, "Howbeit there came other boats from Tiberias, nigh unto the place where they did eat bread, after that the Lord had given thanks." In other words, other boats came, but they didn't see the person of Yeshua, Jesus, the Messiah. Well, notice that they were waiting there to see, well, where is the Lord? They were seeking for him. They were, in Hebrew, mevakshim. They sought for him, but they couldn't see him. What happened is apparently the disciples took a boat. They went to the other side. And then he was not found in the boats that came from the city of Tiberias. So they couldn't find him. Well, they decided, according to verse 24, that they need to go to the village of Kfar Nahum. Now, very interesting, because that village of Kfar Nahum is a very important village, which often in Scripture we find out that Yeshua made it as if it were his residency, a place where he dwelt, where he lived. According to Matthew chapter 4 and verse 13, we find out that leaving Nazareth, Yeshua, he came and dwelt in Kfar Nahum. In Kfar Nahum, not only that he dwelt there, but apparently also Yeshua preached there. In verse 17 of Matthew chapter 4, we read, "From that time Jesus began to preach there in Kfar Nahum and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." So he was not only dwelling in Kfar Nahum, he was not only preaching in Kfar Nahum, it became a place that the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, also healed in Kfar Nahum. According to Matthew chapter 8 and verse 5, we read, "When Jesus was entered into Kfar Nahum, there came unto him a man, a centurion, that said, my servant lieth home sick." And if you will read continually in this passage, you find out that he healed that servant of the centurion man. Then later on in the same 8th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, in the same Kfar Nahum, apparently we find out that when Jesus was coming to Peter's house, that he saw his wife's mother. Apparently, in this place, Peter dwelt and his wife's mother lived in Kfar Nahum, because Yeshua went to that house found in Kfar Nahum, the village of Nahum. Nahum is one of the names of the Hebrew prophets in our people's history, but Nahum is a very common name that is given to many Jewish boys in the history of the people of Israel. According to other passages, Yeshua was oftentimes in Kfar Nahum. We find in Matthew chapter 11, where the Lord charged and challenged Kfar Nahum because he preached there, he dwelt there, he healed there, he have done so much there in Kfar Nahum. We read, "And thou, Kfar Nahum, which are exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell, for if the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say unto you," he's speaking to Kfar Nahum, "that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee," Kfar Nahum, the village of Nahum, because he dwelt there, he taught there, he healed there, he ministered there. It became a place that people have heard about Yeshua, Jesus, the Messiah, in Kfar Nahum, and therefore Kfar Nahum became responsible to turn to the Lord, and the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, was very, very strong in his description of the judgment that will come upon the village of Kfar Nahum if they would not turn to him. According to Matthew chapter 17 and verse 24, we read, "And when they were come to Kfar Nahum, they that received tribute money came to Peter and said, Does not your master pay tribute?" Apparently, it was there in Kfar Nahum that Yeshua, the Messiah, have taught this great lesson. He taught great lesson to Simon. And there he said to Simon, "Simon, of whom do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute? Of their own children, of strangers?" Peter said unto him, "Of strangers." Jesus saith unto him, "Then are the children free. Notwithstanding, lest we should offend them, go thou into the sea, and cast an hook, and take up the fish that first cometh up, and when thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt found a piece of money. That take and give it unto them for me and for thee." Amazing what have happened in this village called in Hebrew Kfar Nahum in the Galil. Well, the people that were seeking Yeshua have arrived to Kfar Nahum, and in verse 25 we read, "And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou thither?" How did you arrive to Kfar Nahum? Well, beloved brothers and sisters, let us remember that Yeshua, the Messiah, could walk on water. He could appear and disappear. He was the one that is able to arrive to Kfar Nahum and be there in the place where he usually dwelt. But they were seeking him. They were seeking for him. In Hebrew, mevakshim et Yeshua HaMashiach. They were seeking for Yeshua, Jesus the Mashiach. And so you notice in this passage how the Lord Jesus the Messiah is now beginning that deliberation concerning the food that he wanted to communicate with them. He is now moving and seeking to minister to these individuals who sought for him. Like you and I, we sought for him. Initially, we sought for him because he was providing for us many, many needs for our life. But the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, is seeking to provide for these seekers the understanding that they need much more than just physical food. They need bread that come from heaven. They need a bread of life. They need spiritual food that will provide for them spiritual understanding of the things of God. And so in verse 26 and 27, Yeshua responds to the seeking people. We read, Jesus answered them and he said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me, not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the food which perishes, but for that food, or in the King James, that meat, but that food which endures into everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him has God the Father sealed. And so in these two verses, verses 26 and 27, the Lord Jesus the Messiah is appealing to the seekers. He said to them, you do not come to me because of miracles, but you come to me because I fed you physically with the loaves, which the boy that gave his all provided for the Lord Jesus the Messiah to fill the multitude. But in verse 27, the Lord Jesus the Messiah is explaining the necessity to not labor only for the physical bread, the physical food, but to labor for that which is for everlasting life, that which is enduring for everlasting, or unto an everlasting life. And you notice he says, verse 27, labor not for the food which perishes, but for that food which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him has God the Father sealed. You remember, beloved brothers and sisters, that according to the previous verses, the Lord in verse 11 gave thanks, John 6:11, and then he distributed to his disciples, and his disciples to them that were set down, he distributed to them the bread which the boy, the lad, gave him. After he gave thanks in a miraculous way, he fed the 5,000 men, plus the women and the children, the multitude he fed in a miraculous way with lechem that was provided for him by this boy, the bread which was provided for him by this boy. But the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, is seeking to teach us this important lesson, that we need to seek for that food, for that bread, which endureth unto eternal life. And the same Son of Man, the same Yeshua HaMashiach, who is called Ben HaAdam, the Son of Man, who provided natural food for men on earth here when he was there in the land of Israel some 2,000 years ago, is the same one who will provide spiritual bread that will endure into everlasting life. Like God said to our forefathers years ago through the prophet Isaiah in chapter 55, O everyone that is thirsty, come ye to the water, and he that had no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Isaiah 55 and verse 1. In verse 2 he continues, and he says, Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Beloved brothers and sisters, the sure mercies of David is that which God sought to make with the covenant made with our people, of all the people of Israel. And he sure made it when the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, became that new covenant when he died for us on the cross. He had provided a new covenant. But here, just before he would die, soon he will die on the shameful cross. He is offering to the seekers to come and feed on that food, on that bread which endureth into everlasting life, which he himself will give unto anyone who come to him. And you know why? Because according to verse 27, Yeshua said, for him, this is the Son of Man, this is the Messiah, Jesus himself, has God the Father sealed. God set a seal that this Jesus, this Yeshua, will be the one that will provide everlasting life. This is wonderful to know, beloved friend. Labor not, don't labor for that which is only physical, but labor for that which is spiritual and for that which is eternal. This is essential to understand, my dear friend. This everlasting life is that which was given to us by the person of the Lord Jesus. For God so loved the world, John 3 and verse 16, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. He is the one who gave this bread. He gave it freely. He gave his life freely. That bread is the person of our Lord Jesus, the Messiah himself. In Ephesians chapter 2, we read, again, notice how the gift is a gift of God. Verse 8, we read, for by grace are ye saved through faith. And that is not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. This is exactly what the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, says before his death. Labor not for the meat which perishes, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life. Notice that, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. Do you seek that, my dear friend? Are you a seeker like these ones? Do you want to have everlasting life? Do you want to have that food which is coming from heaven? Yeshua, Jesus the Messiah, is that Son of Man that giveth unto you that meat, that food, that bread which cometh down from heaven. Because the Father, God the Father, have sealed him to be the one that will provide redemption to whoever accept him as his or her Lord and Savior. This is an amazing passage that we find here in John chapter 6, in the verses that we are reading together, beloved brothers and sisters and dear friend. We trust that you will grasp it because it is essential. Notice what we read in Philippians chapter 2 and verses 12 and 13. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Notice what it says in Philippians 2 and verse 12. Work out your own salvation. It doesn't say work out for your salvation. No, but work out the salvation that you received already from the Lord the gift that you receive according to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. By grace are ye saved, through faith, and this is not of yourself, it is a gift of God. And so therefore we are not laboring for salvation, we are laboring because we received the gift of salvation, the everlasting life which the Son of Man, Ben-Hadam, this is the Messiah himself, shall give unto you. That's the way God has set it, that man will receive gift of salvation if he only will believe in the person of Jesus the Messiah. Well, we continue, and so in verse 28, the people ask what they can do in order to work these works of God. They said unto him in verse 28, what shall we do that we might work the work of God? And again, beloved brothers and sisters, how important it is to understand that no one can do anything in order to receive this gift of eternal life. That's what they needed to understand. It's the same thing with this person in Mark chapter 10 and verse 17 who came to the Lord. You remember this rich ruler that came to Yeshua the Messiah in Mark 10, 17. When he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeling to him, and he asked him, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? You see, again and again, oftentimes people make the mistake and they think that they can do something in order to inherit eternal life. And you notice what the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, already said in verse 27 of John chapter 6. He says, labor not for the meat which perishes, but for the meat which endures unto eternal life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. In other words, he will give it. It will be a gift. But you see, they do not understand, like many today in this world in which we live in, do not understand that God gave us this gift of life, that eternal life that comes by faith in his Son, in the Lord Jesus, the Messiah. The same situation was with this jailer that is found in Acts chapter 16 and verse 30, where he said to the apostle Shaul Paul, they brought them out and they said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And what Shaul Paul said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, believe on the Lord Yeshua HaMashiach, and thou shalt be saved, thou and thine house. You believe, and you will be saved. Your house will believe, and they will be saved. But faith in the person of the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, provide for one eternal salvation. My dear friend, this is a principle that one must understand. And so as we go back to John chapter 6, when they, the seeker, said, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Look at the answer of Yeshua, Jesus the Messiah, in verse 29. Look what he said. Yeshua answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. This is what God wants us to do. The work of God is faith in Yeshua, Jesus the Messiah. And because the Lord Jesus the Messiah was the sinless one, the Son of Man that sinned not, the holy, harmless, undefiled, suffered from sinners, he as man died, paid for our sins. And when he died, he became a substitute for us all. And whoever will believe on him shall have everlasting life. That's why the Gospel of John was written, my dear friend. According to this 20th chapter of the Gospel of John, in verse 31, these things, these miracles, these signs are written that ye might believe that Yeshua is the Messiah, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. How wonderful it is, my dear friend. This is the whole theme of the Gospel of John that God became a man. And as man, God the Son took union humanity with his divine nature, and as man, he died for the sin of this world. None could pay for his own sin. We cannot atone for our own soul. We cannot pay for our sins. It is the only way of salvation is through the person of our Lord Yeshua, Jesus, the Messiah. And so we read immediately in verse 30, they said therefore unto him, John 6:30, what sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? So now they wanted to see, what kind of a work are you going to do? What kind of a sign are you going to do to show us that we will believe that it is through you that we will receive eternal life? Now again, my dear friend, in the history of our people of Israel, signs were part and parcel in Jewish, Israeli, Hebrew history. When Abraham was to be circumcised and to circumcise his son Yitzchak and all the descendants of the nation of Israel on the eighth day, circumcision was a sign between God and the Hebrews, our people of old. Then later on, when Israel, our people, came out of the land of Egypt, the blood that was placed upon the doorpost and the lintel was a sign for the Jewish people to put upon the doorpost and the lintel in the land of Egypt that God will pass over them when the judgment came upon the land of Egypt. Later on, when God gave the Torah, the law, to our forefathers in the land from between Egypt to the promised land in Sinai on the mountain, God gave the Shabbat for the people of Israel to become a sign between him and his people Israel. That's why in Exodus chapter 31, we clearly see that God said to the people of Israel, through Moses, speak thou unto the children of Israel, saying, verily, my Shabbat ye shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generation, that ye may know that I am the Lord that doth sanctify you. And ye shall keep the Shabbat, therefore, for it is holy unto you. In other words, the Shabbat was a sign between God and our people of Israel. And so there are many signs throughout the history of the nation of Israel. Shaul, Paul, who himself, a Jewish man, a Hebrew of the Hebrew, he himself did say when he was writing to the Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 22, he said, for the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks, the Gentiles, seek after wisdom. And so what you see that the sign were part and parcel of the requirement of the Jewish people. So they want to see a sign. They want to see a sign. So they said to him, what sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? And of course, they continue to say in verse 31, looking back at some of the evidence, the miracles that God had provided in the history of Israel, has a reference to Exodus chapter 16. Our fathers did eat manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Of course, they were quoting Psalm 78, which indicated that really God provided bread for the people of Israel during the wilderness journey. In Psalm 78, we read in verse 24, and had rained down man upon them to eat, and had given them of the corn of heaven. Men did eat angels' food. He sent them meat to the full. It's amazing when you really think about how God provided for the people of Israel, for his own earthly people, so much during the wilderness. Sign after sign after sign after sign, miracle after miracle, he provided for our forefathers on their journey from Egypt to the promised land. And so they are looking for sign. But then, beloved friend, beloved brothers and sisters, in these last verses here, between verse 32 to verse 40, in this section, in this ministry meeting, our blessed Lord Yeshua the Messiah is really giving them instruction concerning the truth of the fact that it was God who provided for the people of Israel this bread of God, the bread from heaven, and that he is the one that came from heaven. He is that bread. He is that food that came down from heaven to provide himself not only for physically to meet physical need, but to meet the spiritual and eternal need of everyone, whether he is Jewish or Gentile. And so we read in these verses, notice that, verse 32 and verse 33, Yeshua said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world." Notice, beloved friend, the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, is now explaining, very difficult for us naturally to grasp. He's saying, really, Moses didn't give you this bread from heaven, but my Father giving you the true bread from heaven. Now, you notice, Moses was called by the Lord to call for man to come from heaven, where our forefathers have walked in the wilderness, Exodus 16, and the man came for them to eat every day, every day, and they were satisfied. Now Yeshua takes that, and he applied this to himself. He said, "My Father giveth you the true bread from heaven." Verse 32 is very interesting expression. The true bread from heaven. It's called Lechem Emet Min Hashamayim. In Hebrew, Lechem Emet Min Hashamayim. That means that this is the true bread, and he is the one that God the Father gave for this world, the true bread from heaven. He's speaking, of course, of himself. And notice what he says in verse 33. "And the bread of God is he," notice it's a person, "is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world." Notice he says the bread of God is he. According to verse 48, Yeshua said of himself, "I am the bread of life." According to verse 58, Yeshua said, "This is the bread which came down from heaven." In other words, he speak of himself, "I am the bread of life." Notice in verse 35, he will say it again, "I am the bread of life. Ani hu lechem hachaim." So he's leading them, my dear friend, like he would want to lead you and I, to understand that the bread from heaven, the true bread from heaven, is much more than just the man, this special food that God rained from heaven to provide our forefathers, the people of Israel, during the wilderness, miracles, as it was indeed, to feed them so they will not be hungry. But here Yeshua the Messiah is dealing now with that eternal life which the Son of Man give unto all. And that eternal life is his person. For the bread of God is he. The bread of God is the Son of Man. The bread of God is Yeshua, Jesus the Messiah. The bread of God is the Mashiach himself, the one who came from heaven. This is the one that was born to the Virgin Miriam, that came in accordance with the promises that God had given in the Hebrew Scriptures. The seed of the woman, the seed of Abraham, the seed of Isaac, the seed of Yaakov, the seed of Yehuda, the seed of David. He is the one that came down from heaven, the one that was born in the city of Bethlehem as a man-child in order to give himself to die and become the source and the answer for all of us who have sinned. He died as a substitute for our sins. He was buried and he rose again for our justification. So then notice that it is so interesting because naturally they did not quite grasp it. So they said to him, Lord, verse 34, evermore give us this bread. They wanted this bread. And here in verse 35 on, all the way to verse 40, Jesus the Messiah is really claiming to be that bread. He is that I am, of which the Bible once and again mentioned many, many, many times concerning the person of the Lord Jesus. He is that great I am, God the Son, who became a man to provide redemption for mankind. And so we read in these next verses, beautiful verses. In verse 35, Yeshua said, I am the bread of life. He that cometh unto me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. You notice, beloved brothers and sisters, that in the word of God, the Lord Jesus the Messiah called himself many times, I am, Anihu. In John chapter 6 and verse 35, he called himself the bread of life. I am the bread of life. In John 8 and verse 12, he called himself, I am the light of the world. Anihu or ha'olam. In John chapter 10 and verse 9, the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, called himself, and then also verse 11, he said, I am the door, Anihu hadelet. In verse 11, he called himself, I am the good shepherd, Anihu haro'eh hatov. This is wonderful. In John chapter 11 and verse 25, Yeshua said, I am the resurrection and the life. Ani hu hatchiyah ve'hachayim. It is amazing. In John chapter 14 and verse 6, Yeshua said of himself, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Ani hu haderech haemet ve'hachayim. And in John chapter 15 and verse 1, Yeshua said of himself, I am the true vine. It is amazing, he calling himself once and again, I am the true vine, Ani hu, the true vine. Amazing to learn these words that the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, is saying of himself. I am, I am, I am. Once and again, he's speaking of himself. I am the true vine, Anochi ha-gefen, or gefen ha-emet. And so we learn of the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, that he is the I am. The first time is mentioned right here in verse 35 of John chapter 6, I am the bread of life. John 6 and verse 35, he said, he that cometh unto me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Notice how many times he used the word believeth. Come and believe. Come and believe. Notice in the next verse, verse 36, he continued, Yeshua, to say, he point to the fact, but I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. And here he's speaking specifically to the spiritual leaders who saw him, heard of him, saw what he does, and did not believe on him. And he wanted them to believe on him. And he continued in verse 37, and you can see the two sides of salvation that the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, is instructing us. The sovereignty of God and the responsibility of man, that here goes along side by side in this passage
in John chapter 6 and verse 37. Look at the one side. All that the Father giveth me shall come unto me. This is the divine side. This is the sovereign choice of God. God the Father giveth to the Son, and all that he had given will come unto him. Then notice the human responsibility in verse 37b. And him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Here we see the human responsibility. Come unto me, all ye that labor, and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You have the responsibility to come, and yet the Father gave us as a gift to the Son. My dear friend, this is an amazing passage to learn and to accept, even if we don't understand. We know that we have been chosen in Christ, in the Messiah, before the foundation of the world, which the Apostle Paul teaches this to us in Ephesians chapter 1 and in the first few verses. We have been chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. And like the Lord Jesus in John chapter 15, he says that we came to him. He is the one. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. John chapter 15 teaches us this. And this is important for us to understand. On the one hand, there is the sovereignty of God, and on the other hand, that there is a responsibility of man, even though we don't understand it and grasp it, but the truth is still there. Many years ago, a brother taught this in such a way, and he said, when we look at the railroad tracks, when we stand right in between the railroad tracks, we see two tracks. And as we look along further and further and further and further, these two tracks merge into one, seemingly. And yet the two tracks are there. And as we look further, we don't see two tracks any longer, but we see only one track, which shows us the truth concerning both of these teachings that Yeshua present before us. On the one hand, all that the Father giveth me shall come unto me. This is the sovereignty of God. On the other hand, in verse 37, him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. This is the responsibility of man. And while we oftentimes try to discover this truth, try to find out, and we lean on the one side or another, we sometimes lean on the sovereignty of God, and the other time we lean on the responsibility of man. But my dear friends, even though we do not quite grasp it, the Bible is clearly teaching us that God is sovereign, and that the Father had given to his Son those of us who are believers. And at the same time, the Bible teaches us that we came unto him. We heard the call and we responded, and we came unto him, and he will in no wise cast out the one that came unto him. Amazing, amazing. So this is what the Lord is teaching these followers, these seekers who came seeking after him, wanting to hear more from Yeshua the Messiah. And so in verse 38, we have this beautiful truth. I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but of him that hath sent me. Notice that. I did not come from heaven to do my own will, but I came down from heaven to do the will of him that sent me. In John 4 and verse 34, Yeshua said, my food is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. That's what we find in John 4 and verse 34. In John 8 and verse 29, we read, he that sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I do always the things that pleases him, Yeshua said. In John chapter 10 and verse 17, we read, therefore does my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. So what we learn, beloved friends, that the Lord Jesus, Yeshua the Messiah, is saying to those who sought for him, the seekers, I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And what is the will of God that sent him? God wanted that he will pay for the sin of this world, that he will accomplish the work of redemption, and that he will be the truly the anointed one who will die and will be buried and will rise again for the justification of all who have believed on him. He is the promised Messiah. He is the promised Goel, Redeemer. He is the one of whom we read in the Bible, in the prophet Isaiah, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, but the Lord laid upon him the iniquities of us all. Isaiah 53 and verse 6. And indeed, beloved friend, later on we will find out that Yeshua finished the work for which he came down to this world. In John 17 we read, Yeshua said, Father, verse 1b, the hour has come, glorify thy Son, that thy Son may also glorify thee. Then you read in verse 4, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. How precious it is. Here we find him saying, I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And sure, he concludes these remarks to the seekers. Verse 39 and verse 40, we read, and this is the Father's will, which has sent me, that of all which he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him at the last day. Wow, my dear friend, we read, this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone that seeth the Son, this is the Mashiach, the Messiah, Yeshua, and believeth on him, believe on the Lord Yeshua, the Messiah, everyone that will see and believe by faith will receive and will have everlasting life. Chayei Olam, sin forgiven, assurance of being with the Lord Jesus the Messiah in glory. Sin will be dealt with once and for all. And this is what he is teaching the seekers. Are you a seeker? Do you seek to find out the way for eternal life, the way for salvation? Are you looking to find out an answer for all your need? Well, my dear friend, the answer is found in the person of our Lord Jesus, the Messiah, who loved us and gave himself for us. My dear friend, may the Lord help us. May the Lord cause us all to be encouraged, because Yeshua, Jesus, the Messiah, did pay for our sin and sins. And he is the one that received us as a gift from God our Father, a gift from God our Father to his Son. And we, by the grace of God, were drawn by God to turn our hearts to him and receive him as our Messiah, as our Lord, and as our Savior. Well, God bless you all, my dear friend. Let us follow him who loved us and gave himself for us, whose name is Yeshua, Jesus, our Messiah. God bless you. I'm saying to you, Shalom, Shalom.
You have been listening to the Holy Scriptures and Israel with Gideon Levitan. Gideon teaches God's Word from a Hebrew Messianic perspective. For more information about this ministry, write to Holy Scriptures and Israel, Box 1411, Niagara-on-the-Lake, Ontario, L0S1J0, or visit our website at holyscripturesandisrael.com. You are also invited to Gideon's weekly Bible teaching on Fridays at 11 a.m. and 7 p.m., and Saturdays at 1 p.m. at Willowdale Christian Assembly Hall, 28 Martin Ross Avenue in Toronto. Holy Scriptures and Israel is made possible by your prayers and financial support. If you would like to support the program, visit holyscripturesandisrael.com. God bless you. Shalom, shalom.